Yes, Jane.
Okay, I'd like to welcome you. It is 6:10. I'd like to welcome you. We will stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah, that's great. You don't have to. You don't have to. That's not a problem.
I'll explain it to her. Did I mess you
up? I believe this is why the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. We will roll call. Nancy Wagner. Just go around.
John Leon.
Gene Capers.
Charles Fletcher.
Tracy McCarthy.
Mary Ann Longo.
Bill Benz.
Phyllis Robinson.
Sherry Marshall.
Very good. The minutes, have you seen, had a chance to look at them?
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you take a minute? I don't remember anything we did that was odd.
It was pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it wasn't anything. I knew we had something to wait and vote on this time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the minutes?
Move, so moved.
Second.
Dr. Leone, Mrs. Robinson. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Very good. Is there any public comment? All right. The finances, Bill Benz.
Okay, so you have a copy of the May 31st financial report, the next to last one of this fiscal year. If you look at the budget, the total budget for expenditures and receipts has not changed since April, as well as the individual categories. So starting at the top, if you look at the first three categories, they're all state appropriations where we received 100% of the money. If you go to local district funding, we're short right now $2,753, and the reason we're short is because I built into the budget money from that IT program in the States. We were supposed to get that this year. We still haven't heard. I asked her to send him another letter. We're going into another year, and it just keeps screwing us around because we had a letter, and I think I still have a copy of it, and I think she does. It says we're going to get the money, but just nothing. I asked her to say, you know, are we going to get it next year, or what's the story? You know, tell us what's going on. So if we had that money, we'd be positive there. The only money we're going to get in that line is interest. Last month, we got around $935 in interest. That's not a number that's on your report. If you go to the next one, food service, you see we received $258,000 this year. You see in the receipts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's made up of two components, the money we get from the federal government plus the money we're using out of balance. So let me give you a breakdown of that. The food service revenue is $162,000 of that $258,000, and we use $95,000 out of the food service balance this year to keep us going. And I think we're going to be short a little bit that this year, but the fact that we're short means we won't use up all that surplus, which is almost down to nothing now.
There she is.
Local carryover, that's money that was there last year, and these are two special local accounts. You can see what the numbers are there. We've taken in more than I anticipated. So the bottom line is we're at 96.5% of our budget, and the only place we're going to be short is the cafeteria. Do you want to do that motion now?
Yeah, just I'd to like make to sure. Ask Candace Holmes has come in.
Just to make sure that's covered so you don't have to call
and
him.
We're going to interrupt financials to go to something we need to have approved because someone has to leave early, and we need to be able to vote on it.
Suspend the agenda.
Yeah, for the moment, turn it over.
Sherry. All right. Last month, I talked about possibly adding a curriculum position, and the board had requested that we put together a job responsibility, so everyone has that in their list. So if you want to take a minute to look over that, we have to approve that.
This is a position you do not have now.
Right. It's basically with Mr. Capers leaving, it basically would take on that position plus.
Okay, I've been reading it, so I got a question. Bullet number 5 from the bottom. Where it says provide resources, is that budgetary or are you talking about something else?
That, you want me?
Go ahead. Okay. It's not budgetary.
Yeah, when we talk about resources here, I would go and research on the internet different types of, yeah, materials and best practices and strategies. Mm-hmm. And then I would sit with Sherry, and then we would kind of map out our agenda over the course of the year. That's what it is. Now, I will tell you this. She has been trying to get a couple resources for everybody, but it kind of fell apart a little bit because we could not use the state card. But I think we're going to be okay moving forward on that. So.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Oh, it answers my question. Good. I was going to say put material resources. So no one's clear that this person has to go out and get some funding for this position or something. That's not a part of the responsibility board.
All of these things that have to be accomplished are being done now by either Gene or
combination
of people. And she already does a lot of these. We met the other day and went over it, and she already does a lot of these.
Yeah.
It's just going to be a little bit more added on.
I'm good.
Okay.
That was my only question.
So the title of this position will be curriculum coordinator?
Correct.
Instead of curriculum specialist or something like that. Had you considered that?
Yeah, I mean, they're all pretty much the same. I wouldn't call it a director or anything.
No.
Verbiage.
Yeah.
Okay, are there any more questions? Do I hear a motion?
Motion to approve the
curriculum
coordinator position, job duties, and responsibilities.
Dr. Leanne, second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Okay, is there anything else we need to do?
Do you have to mention her abstention?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Crosby abstained.
She's abstained.
That's yeah. I used the wrong word.
What, huh?
It's fine.
Okay. as because of her position on the board.
Yes.
Any other things that we need to take care of because you have to leave early? No, that's okay, George. We need you to pray for us.
That's true.
You're Georgia.
Yeah,
Is there anybody else who needs to do something while we have her here? Okay, we'll go back to financials, Bill.
All right.
Thank you. Thanks for being here.
Okay. So like I said, the budget's final. The only place we're going to be short is probably in food service. So we get down to the salaries. There's 26 pays in the school year. Through the end of May, we've done 24 of them. So 24 over 26, we should be at 92.3, and we're at 89.9 on overall salaries and 87.2 on OECs, which basically follow the salary. Then if this is the 11th month of a 12-month fiscal year. 11-12 would be 91.7. So if you look at the other categories, we're under that. The only category we're 100% is Mosaic, which we had to pay. So in the total budget, we're at 85.4. We should be at 91.7, so we're 6.3% under. Last month, we were 4.8% under. So based on the budget, we're staying within the budget. Okay? Not a whole lot to say, but if you go to the next page, the next pages are just details of what's in the first page. And again, using 92.3 as the guide, school administration's basically in line. The teacher category's in line. The only ones that are over are overtime salaries, which most of that was custodial because of problems with the landowner, with water and everything else. Substitute teachers, we have no control over that. You know, if teachers are out, we got to do that. So you can see we're at 183, but if you look at what happens is that teachers getting paid as a substitute, it reduces the amount of expenses up in the regular line, so we're good there. And if you look in total, we're at 89.9 versus 92.3. The OECs are pretty much in line. Some of the other categories are up and down, but in total, we're running fairly well.
What's other professional services?
55, what is that, boost and a couple other things? Now, what happened is we had to make some changes during the year. So if you look, there were about three account codes there. Did you see 5500, 55010, and 55063? Did you see 55063 only spent 8500 of the 4000? And I think some of those things maybe got messed up a little bit. In fact, next year, we're getting rid of educational assistance, and we're putting everything up in the top two lines.
Okay.
So, in total, we're not over if you put all those things together with OT, PT, and so forth. Because what happened this year, the state in their wisdom, we had a program called Educational Sustainment. at least be able to use that for anything. Now they're saying you have to use it for specialty things. So we were recoding and doing all kinds of things. Wow. So it got a little messy. Mm-hmm. They're always trying to help us out.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the 5,500 was the main, and then all the others. Sort of
they're basically all in that area, special ed, all kinds of specialists, mm-hmm. speech and hearing, and so forth. Because, see if you look there, that 55063 has a balance of 31,000. And if you take the first two up there, we're only at 11, so we're good.
Yeah, okay.
Good. And we talked about a better plan for next year. We just met on that last week because I noticed that.
Thank you.
Good question. And we knew that on the second page, good old waste management, they like to nickel and dime you to death, so we know that's high. Let's move on to page four. And I told you at the last meeting that there's probably going to be some of these accounts that we're not going to spend all the money. Okay. These numbers here as of May 31, but I had a run made today. Just got it from Tammy. And I'll tell you where I think we're going to end the year with. So if you look up the top, the 05213, that's down to zero now. You see that first line up there, operations? Mm-hmm. You see that? You follow me? See, that shows a balance of 25,000, but we spent that on payroll. So next month you'll see a zero in there. That's not going to revert. The next one, school safety and security, at a balance of 457, it's now zero as of 626, okay? Because we have one more month to go in this fiscal year. Now, if you look at student success, we were at 1917. And let me get a ruler in here to make sure I'm giving you the right number. And you'll see these numbers next month. Find my ruler, okay. 05309 is 1792. It went down from 1917 down to 1792. Student success reading is at 13301. It's now down to 9697. That was a big one, you know, we were going round and round, so that's down to 96. Technology block grant is down to zero now. The most money we're going to revert is this educational opportunity grant where we had got the counselor late in the year, and mm-hmm. I told the state, I said, when you have new programs, give us 2 years, and they just sort of looked at me, you know, who you idiot. So we're at 44 there, but we're down to 26.
Good.
Okay. And then sustainment, we were at 12, we're down to 59.85. In total, it looks like we reverted 44,000 to the state because of not giving us 2 years and changing rules and things. Like I said, that educational sustainment fund in the past, there would be a zero there because we could use it for anything. And now you got to use it for specific things. And mm-hmm. if you don't spend it all, it'll revert. So they're not doing a lot to help us, in my opinion.
But the time frame to spend it is over.
Yeah, only 1 year. Only 1 year. Yeah.
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 So what was the total there? I'm sorry.
June 30th. The date's already clear. Yeah. We can't purchase anything.
And I think she did a good job, given, you know, the things and so forth. And yeah. So, like I said, those are the ones, and you'll see those numbers next month. The next group of numbers that would re.
One question.
Yes, sir.
Might be sort of out of left field.
No.
If we ever have to go through a review and they look at how well we're doing with the money they give us, and they see this, would this be like a red eye poking our eye that they gave us money and we're not clever enough to use it?
It might be a question, but I would go back at them on some other things about how they did it. You know, let's suppose we'd hired somebody.
Yeah. I know there were so many rules and the way they did it, we couldn't do it.
Listen to me, okay? Let's suppose we hired somebody back when we got the information, because when the legislation's passed, it takes a while for them to have the guidelines. So let's suppose we hired someone in September and we put them on the payroll. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to get paid during the summer. They would cut us off June 30, so there'd be money left there.
Yeah.
And if they're trying to help us, you know, don't put so many restrictions on it. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to give new money, let people get used to it. Give them a 2-year period of time. What does that hurt to have money set there? Maybe Nancy knows more about than I do for another year.
Yeah, not, you know, that's just the way they do it.
Mm-hmm. That's how I'd respond to it.
I got you. I get it. I'm just thinking.
No, I hear you.
Crazy
I
questions
hear you.
Like this.
No, I hear you.
Constantly.
No, it's a good question.
Money.
And we have not reverted money in the past.
Yeah, I know.
Because we try to watch it. But that's the reality.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would.
44K is just a lot of lot of hot dogs.
Hey. Yeah. I'd love to have that.
Okay. Thank you. No, you're doing great. I can't argue what you're doing. I'm just looking at this one.
She did the best she could. I don't spend the money here. So like I said, the next group of funds that will expire will be FY18, and we have till November to do that. And you can see what's going on there. And then just the last page in your packet, just another goodie. I talked a little bit about the last time. I'd just like you to read that. Take that thing there that says the July 5th payroll will charge under the old account codes. You see that thing? It looks like this. It's the last page. Oh. Do you have something like that?
Yeah. Remind us for July 1?
Yeah. Just read that section down there, and then I'll explain what we have. It's the last page in the packet. Everybody ready? Okay, so what's been happening is, and I don't know all the details, and I could be wrong, I'm just telling you what I heard. They've had 2 years to come up with some new account codes because of feds and so forth, okay? So they've been talking, and just recently they started sending out lists of codes, okay? But they weren't final. So now here are all the new codes, okay? Here are all the new codes, okay? Ones you could use, ones you couldn't, and so forth. Never a lot of explanation. In fact, I called people I knew this weekend, right before a situation, and one business manager didn't even know what was going on. My daughter works in another district. They just sent out information to them today about the new account codes. And in those districts, the secretaries do the coding. Okay? So now they want consistency. They want more breakdown. They want consistency. With that type of setup, do you think they're going to get consistency? Plus, they're having a meeting, they're having a phone call on July 9th to explain it in more detail. Now, what I'm pointing out is, if you look at that thing, just the first payroll is July 5th. Mm-hmm. Do you see what they said? Use the old account codes because they weren't ready. So now what's going to happen is, the first pay of the year, we're going to have one account code. Mm-hmm. The rest of the pays of the year is going to have another account code. So today, I come down early, and I went through all of our structure for this year to pick out the codes we have for next year, okay? And then they say, well, you can recode it if you want to. If you want everything to get consistent, you can recode it. So that's more work because they weren't ready to do it.
Reconciliation, yeah.
Okay. Unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. Not really.
So stupid. But maybe I'm stupid. I don't know.
Yeah, it's called job security. Yeah.
But that's absolutely stupid. With the training they've given people, and then one's this way and one's that way, and you're not going to get consistency among people because there's so many people involved in this. They'd have been having workshops this spring so we could start the year right. Because when I was down here the last time, they gave me this, and then they gave me another thing. And I told Mary Ann before I left, we've got to use the new codes in the first pay. I got home that night, and I started reading through all this crap, and that's when I come up with that thing that says the first pay is. And I called Tammy, and over there they weren't even talking about it. So what a disaster. They think they're going to get consistency. And
no,
they're just
providing job security. You heard what they said, security.
But if you're going to do something, do it right.
No, that's contrary to all the so, education you got.
So I'm just saying that maybe the first couple reports are going to be a little screwed up.
It's going to be a mess.
Yeah, and you're going to say, well, why does this
bring? At that report. When you bring those reports?
Well, I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to say that there might be some inconsistency. Yeah. So. Okay.
You're doing good.
So
that's my birthday, so I won't be here anyhow.
You what? We're going to switch it off your birthday, so you're here. So
I got you.
We've stayed within the budget this year. I just like to talk a little bit about next year. I'm concerned, and we had a little conversation maybe last month about some things, and I think we need to talk about the future here sometime very soon.
Well, since we're in the middle of finances here, why don't we talk about finances for next year? What is our number now for students for next year's share?
256.
Now, what number were we working on for this current?
272.
272.
So let me just put that in perspective.
Go ahead, okay, yes.
I took last year's state funding and this year's state funding, and I come up with amount per pupil, which is about 90. Let me get my papers here.
$272.
So if I take the basic state funding, what I'm talking about, sustainment, MCI, and 05213, that's about $2.2 million. If I divide that by 272. That's about $8,000 a student from the state. If I take the local of 37836 and divide it by 272, that's about 1363. So each pupil is worth $9,431 on an average, because there's different formulas in it. So if I take that times 16, we're down almost $151,000 to start next year.
Okay, now if you take the 16 students, that is going to be at least one teacher. Our grades are full here, I'm assuming, and while they'll be scattered all over the different age groups, that's going to be money. That's going to be one less teacher. Am I correct in sort of thinking that? Or maybe two. So we're looking at either more crowded classrooms, because you're going to have to absorb those kids when they come, but you're not going to have the money for those teachers. Now, if you go past the salary of the OECs and all that, and you take the budget for the food, the transportation, and everything else, how does that change in the funding affect that? If I'm thinking about the busing, the buses still have to go to the same places.
Yeah, well, so we already have a contract for next year. Remember last year we had hassle with him, and he guaranteed the same price, so I did that.
Yeah, okay. But we'll have less money to work with.
Yeah, $150,000. Yes. That's in the ballpark.
Let me just talk about some things here, and I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just saying I think we need to talk about reality.
Yeah, we have a conversation at the end every year.
Yeah,
so
I think things are getting tighter because I don't have the balances I used to have. And if we're only at 256, that's $150,000 going. Yeah. Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
So, I was down here 2 weeks ago, and we went through the budget based on some things and so forth. And I went home and I tried to put something together. There's a lot of unknowns now. I have to admit, I don't know what the state's going to do with some funding. If they're going to give us some money that I can do things with, I don't know what the local districts are going to do, you know, in terms of funding. So I went through a process, and to be able to balance the budget, I had to remove the contingency. There would be no contingency in the budget, okay? There'd be no raises at this point, because I can't build raises in if I don't have enough people. We would assume that the math vacancy we have now could be covered under federal funds, and assuming that the reading position, there's some new wording in there, I think, that we may be able to fund that. We're assuming that. At that point, I had a certain staff, but the day I came back and I found we missed two teachers, so I'd add that up. So the bottom line was, I thought we could make it, but I wasn't going to give any raise to the landowner, okay? And I really believe we need to go back to him and get some money, because if it goes below 250, it's going to get really tight. And the other big thing is, if you look in the bottom of this report, remember we're supposed to have money for the summer. There's last year we needed $288,000, because let me explain this. Your teachers start in September or August, okay? And they get paid from September through August. This budget is July to June. So if for some reason you couldn't finish, you'd have that obligation, which you could not fulfill at this particular point, okay? So I'm just saying, and I had it fairly well balanced, but now I had two teachers thrown on top of me. And at that point, it's the same staff as we had this year. And I'm saying, if we have 272 versus 256, something's got to give. And I'm not saying it's not going to work. It's going to be very, very tight.
You don't have to pay Mosaic this year, do you?
No, but I have $150,000 less. Okay? And I'm just saying, renewals coming up down the road, you know, and you heard the conversations last week with the problems and so forth. And I'm just saying I think we need to have an in-depth conversation about where we're headed. Can we get the kids we need? You know, where's the money coming from? Because I do the best I can, and I know I don't try to scare you, but I don't want you to be surprised down the road and either. It's going to be tight this year. And I felt very good until I found out we missed two teachers today. So,
bottom line,
I'm rambling on you.
We know, but it's good. And we had this dialogue before. We need to find a more creative way to get us about 20 more students and hold the numbers that we have.
Amen.
And that's it. And we go through this. I remember Gene and I, we talked about it before. We need to just step up our game. We've been, when we had that deadline, we were passing flyers out. They got flyers. So we need to find a more creative way.
Amen.
Between now and school starts when?
August 22nd.
I would like to.
That's sort of where we need. We need 20 solid students.
And I don't want to come out of this meeting that spread around, you know, the school's going to close now or anything like that, because, you know, that just makes the situation worse. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying, I felt I had a responsibility to say, you know, where are we at now and where's the future?
Okay. And we got to be serious. About it. You got it. You didn't say it. There's a board responsibility to address what numbers you're presenting. That's what I take.
And like I said, I do estimates in here. I had to do a lot of things because I don't know. I don't know the salaries of the new people we're hiring. Just a lot of unknowns. And I think we'll make it one way or another this year. We'll have to, okay? Because you can't close the school now and say, hey, kids, here, you got to go to another school. Teachers, you don't have a job. You know, all that type of thing. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying this is about as tight as it's ever been. Mm-hmm. And I'll do my best.
When we go under review, we're going to probably go under review because of the scores, I'm guessing. And part of that review last time, as I recall, there was discussion about our numbers. Mm-hmm. And were they going down? Were they going up? What's the prognosis? That becomes part of the questioning as to whether we continue on also. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer to recruiting students. I think we may be in the situation where we say, let's be realistic. Are there students out there we can get to come here? I know what you're working against. You know, you're working against kids leaving to go to another charter school where their brothers and sisters go, that goes to 5 or 6. You're working against, you know, a lot of people just automatically send their kids to public school. I don't have those answers, nor do I have the skill set to find those answers, to look for other students and find them. But that's something we need to identify. And if you need other people involved to do that, we need to be realistic about that. I can't help you with that, and I know I can't. So it's stupid for me to say, well, I'll get 10 kids. I can't do it. But I think that's really where we are. And so pie-in-the-sky ideas of, well, let's try this or let's try that, we got to find something that actually works. Mm-hmm. I do not know what works. And I think everybody, you know, the teachers and everybody here has worked really, really hard through all the years, particularly because of Mosaica, to keep this little place together. But moving forward, we have to not only be cognizant of what DOE may say, because our numbers are down. I mean, they could come right in and say, well, these numbers are just not workable. But no matter how much you guys are trying or what all you all are doing, this just become workable. How long are the teachers and the staff here willing to go without raises?
And I'm just saying, I build it without it. I'm not saying if things turn around, that'd be the first thing we do. But right now, I can't build a budget with a raise. I can't.
No,
I need that money to try to cover this loss of
students. But I think we really need to recognize some of this decision may be out of our hands. You know, DOC will make certain decisions based on enrollment and what you said in your charter and where you are and what is your plan for increasing students. Everybody here has worked like a dog. I'm not saying you haven't, but I don't know the answers to that, and I think we need to be cognizant that that can happen.
So some parents on PTO, so the last PTO meeting that we attended, that was something that came up, because you have parents who are concerned about, you know, bringing up the numbers and want to participate in attracting more students. So we have one who's really involved. Like she said, she has, you know, quite a few ideas. Her name is Jen. And so she said, in terms of increasing advertisement, she said there's something about classes for algorithms, and this is beyond my skill set as well, but classes for algorithms available for like $100 a year or something. Now, she works at the Department of Labor, and I don't know if these were specific classes that she knew about, but she was saying there's some type of training, I guess, that can be provided to teach you how to reach out, I guess, to people, or, and this may be online, internet type stuff. So, like, when you know, when you go to Google something, right, and there are certain advertisements mm-hmm. that pop up automatically, mm-hmm. like, like whether it's Dover Attorney, there's certain law firms that are going to pop up right away because mm-hmm. they've paid for you to, you know, mm-hmm. whenever, mm-hmm. and whenever mm-hmm. you look up Dover Attorney or Dover Family Law Attorney, their name is going to pop up. And so the same thing, like if somebody's new here, because we've got some parents that's on the PTO that moved here from other states, you know, and this was like a school that seemed attractive to them. And so whether a person is moving from out of state, whether they're military families or whether they're people who have been in Delaware all the time for a while and they're Googling, you know, Dover School. This is be, you know, this would be one of the schools that you want to pop up, don't, you know, at AOD Charter School. And you, of course, you know, now we've had, you know, events to generate a lot of people like that fair, that carnival that we had. I mean, this school was packed. You know, it's so, I mean, we're out in the community. People know who we are. They you know, now seeing what we do. So those are the type of things, the pictures of that, you know, the putting it in the paper. I think people wanted to do that, too, like to get it in the newspaper so that was nothing, you know, more positive coverage for the school, to, you know, so people know, you know, what all's going on. But I think, you know, those are some of the suggestions that we've heard at PTO meetings. And so I don't know how we can translate that into, you know, effective advertising for this school. But, you know, those are some ideas. And there are people who are willing to help with that. Yeah. So I don't know if the board can, you know, mesh with the PTO going forward. Yeah. That may, you know, be of some benefit. Because, mm-hmm. you know, there are some parents who have some really good ideas about that.
Yeah, well, I think we just need to be really aware of this. I appreciate what everybody has done. I think it's pretty critical where we are now, and I think we you know, have to do whatever we can to try to improve things for next year. I really appreciate what Bill has done. I know he's knocked himself silly trying to make things work, and, you know, he can't invent money. I did hear something the other day that I think is in the budget bill about the transportation money, that they're going to let the charters keep the leftover. It was a big brouhaha. But
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, but they inserted it at the very end of the budget, and so that'll give us a little more money. Kowalko did go crazy, but other than that, I mean, everybody kind of passed on it.
Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. So that'll help us a little bit.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know all the numbers. Right. I'm just saying this is that rough first pass. And like I said, I felt good until I found we needed two more teachers.
Mm-hmm. Does anybody have any other questions about the financial report? Do I hear a motion mm-hmm. to accept it?
So moved.
Second.
Mrs. Robinson. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Excellent.
Didn't
okay.
they put more money for schools in the governor's budget? Didn't he get some more money?
I don't know. I haven't followed that too much.
I thought I saw that in the paper that he did get some more money for schools, a special program for lower income.
DFAC came in with some extra money, but I don't know what they're going to do with that.
I think we have a meeting on July 17th where I'll learn more because you can hear stuff in the paper until they say, now, here's really
real
the rules.
Story.
Yeah, so like I said, I hope we get some good news there.
Learn to read epilogue language.
Well, I don't like it. There's something about this year at student at reading interventions instead of a reading teacher. So my thinking was, boom, boom.
Yeah, new somebody title. Wanted the job that didn't have teacher credentials.
No, I meant we wouldn't be supplanting.
Okay.
Correct.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. But I'll run that by you so that we're all on the same page.
Okay. Ready for the principal's report? Terry?
What's this? Did you guys
vote?
Yeah, we voted.
Yeah, we voted.
Okay.
It's done.
All right, so I'll share that if you have to go. I'm going to share a PTO report later on. So just a couple things other than the job description that we already voted on. Consolidated grant, I've been working on that. It's due, the first round of submission is due July 12th. So I was able to work in, you know, cover all of our paraprofessionals through Title I, Title II, adding in some professional development. Title III we don't receive because that's for ESL.
Good holiday.
And then special ed, the grant money for that. So we're able to cover our therapists, OT, PT, speech, a psychologist, and our case manager through that. Also, I was able to write in with Title I the math interventionist position. So that's one of the vacancies that we have that hopefully we'll be able to get funded through federal. Also have the opportunity grant that I'm working on that's due on the 30th. I submitted it today, actually.
I wrote that for our behavior interventionist. Our behavior interventionist, we had a meeting about that last month, but she did resign. And so I have that vacancy, so I was able to write the opportunity grant to get a full-time certified behavior interventionist. We have the success grant. I know I've been told that we're getting it, but I haven't gotten any information on it yet, so that should be forthcoming. And I got a call yesterday. I'd already submitted the opportunity grant, and I submitted it previously for behavior and a counselor, mental health counselor. So I was going to combine two positions. I got a call from Mr. Travers at the charter school office yesterday. Good and bad news. Bad news was he told me I had to start over. The good news is because we're getting more money, an additional grant that I can use that mental health money for. So he said I will be getting a mental health grant as well. So all that detail information should be coming as well. So that's two more grants that I know we'll be getting, but I just don't know the amounts and all yet. Right now, my vacancies that we have, one of the priorities is trying to figure out who's going to take the transportation role. Because, you know, Ms. Stewart did behavior and transportation, and we gave her a stipend for transportation. Well, with those, her resigning, that left that position.
She's gone entirely?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
16 years.
So we have also have a first grade teacher that resigned. We have our art teacher that we need to replace. That was our art teacher last year. We had a long-term sub, but she was out. Our technology teacher is actually moving to a classroom, so I have a technology vacancy. And then with the curriculum position, I have the reading and math intervention positions, but I'm able to write those into the grants. The transportation is the only one that I really wanted to talk to about, trying to see what the board suggests I do with the transportation and who's going to do that, because it is a lot of work, especially at the beginning of the year, a lot of time consuming getting the bus routes, calling every individual parent to tell them a time frame to pick up, a time frame for drop off, and then dealing with the parents when there's complaints. When the bus misses their stop, or there's complaints with the bus driver, we were fortunate to have Ms. Stewart, and I know she was very frustrated with the position, and we were able to compromise and give her a stipend. But right now, there's not anyone on staff that's willing to take that on.
What are you seeking as far as credentials for that particular job? Just a regular...
Well, we don't have... I mean, we're not a big district, so districts have a transportation supervisor.
Yeah, I know that. But what would yours be?
It would just be a staff member that would take it on.
Basically someone that can use the phone and
aid,
call people, like
a teacher's aid type of thing.
Somebody that would have to be available early morning for the buses, and then they wouldn't be able to be in the classroom. They'd have to be available for the buses and the kids coming in, and then somebody at the last 2 hours of the day.
Yeah,
and then stay until about 5 and then stay until about 5 o'clock, make sure all the buses are especially the first month of school, in case any buses have to bring kids back.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. So the pay scale for this position would just be like a regular teacher.
Wouldn't be a teacher.
That's the answer.
What's the pay scale? We're trying to look. What do you look for?
You said what's you have
some suggestions. Job script. How much you pay them?
I know we gave a $4,000 stipend for our transportation this past year.
Right.
And Bill's saying we may or may not be able to even do that. So, who am I going to on staff? Am I going to say half of your job is going to consist of dealing with these parents and bus drivers and routes? And I don't have anyone that's.
So you would have to bring in someone new. Is that what I'm hearing?
That or...
Is that what you're saying?
Telling somebody they have to do
they don't
it?
Have, I don't think she has the ability to bring in someone new. That's sort of like what I'm getting. This is one of these other dudes as a sign. Yeah. What can we do to compensate?
The behavior interventionist is probably the best.
Say what?
Yeah.
But since I'm going to be writing that into a grant, I don't know that I could do a... It would fall outside of their job description with the grant money. That's what I'm.
Does the grant money cover their whole job salary?
Yeah, for the
behavior interventionist.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you wrote in that if there's behavior on the buses, that would fall under the behavior position.
Right.
Okay. So the piece that's after everything is started and the kids have their buses, that's probably the most that you have, except you got to have somebody here to make sure the kids are coming and going correctly, mm-hmm. that nobody's left on a bus or something. Right. So if you write that part of it into the behavioral interventionist to deal with any behavior issues coming from the buses or on the buses in the afternoon, that probably would be acceptable for that grant, I would think, because it's behavior. Once they're on the bus, they're under your jurisdiction, I'm guessing.
For the behavioralists?
Well, for discipline, yeah.
I mean, then
bus drivers, like they did before, gave Ms. Stewart the behavior referrals.
Okay. Right.
But, I mean, because she did both, it was easy for her to handle.
But if you have a behavior specialist...
And the changes in the route, they call all hours of the day.
Okay, that's a different piece. I'm just talking about the behavior piece. Could be handled in
that
grant.
Well, that part would be...
In the grant.
That's part of
so
the behavior.
Basically okay, so basically just need someone to...
The mechanics
just,
of it.
Just
mechanics
set
of
up
it.
Doing the routes and contacting parents and staying to make sure...
Everyone
and
gets
And the changes
home.
Every day.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Notifying the teacher of
well,
the changes
right.
every day.
Okay.
Redoing the bus list for the teachers every day because they get printed out every time there's a change. There's a lot of clerical that...
Okay. Mm-hmm. What?
Did you contact the bus garage to see the bus to see if they have anyone that does that kind of thing?
No.
In the main office, you got Mary Ann. Who else is in the main office?
Shalene.
And tell me what her job description is.
She answers the door, the phone, monitors the attendance, puts all the new students in e-school, does the filing.
Could she pick up that part of the transportation position?
Mm-mm.
Sounds like a wonderful idea.
Yeah. I think that would be a bit much for her to keep up with. Plus,
I've met her.
I don't think so.
And if you take people calling in, she's already answering the phone. Why don't we have some forms drawn up that will cover so it makes it easy for her to write down whatever
like
it is that has to be done.
Huh? Like a daily log.
Well, something so okay, tell Susie to do so-and-so. Okay, I've just written all that down.
Yeah.
And then I just give it to the teacher and I send the same copy to the bus company or however that works.
Yeah.
But,
the driver, yeah.
But you've got this, you're really cutting out a part of the problem because before she answers the phone and she's got to go tell Mrs. Stewart. And then she's got to do all the rigmarole. So if she's answering the phone, she should be able to just, as she takes down the information, just put it on the form. Mrs. Smith called in. Susie is supposed to get on bus 6 today because she's going to so-and-so's house. And then you, whatever you have to get approved, you give that to the teacher, and you have a copy to give to the bus driver. Or have the teacher, at the end of the day, when the bus driver comes, their kids are getting on all different buses. Mm-hmm. They take that kid and that form and they give it to the right bus driver.
I think this is a really, really great opportunity to save some money in regards to changing the culture that's been here in the past. It means basically, it's going to mean some orientation, like you said, Dr. Fletcher. I'm kind of taking everything in. And Sherry and I talked a little bit about this morning, just generally. But I think the big thing here is wherever a personnel can pick up different types of duties and responsibilities, okay, as an administrator, you can reassign those duties and responsibilities so that, to make sure that they are receiving the proper orientation as far as what it is that you want them to do. And then I think the second thing is to move forward on this and then to see and then to monitor to see how well it's going. I like this idea because I think just based strictly on how tight things are right now with what it is that has to be done as far as saving money, everybody has to man up, okay, and extend and do what they need to do in order to make this thing operate. That's just my own personal opinion at this point. I mean, it's not going to mean nothing to me after tonight. But I really want to plant those seeds because it's not just going to be the lady in the office. It's going to be other individuals within the school that are going to have to pick up additional responsibilities to support, you know, to support our head of school, you know.
Well, if you're simply, if you're changing your procedures, it's very easy to get into a culture that says, oh, this is the way we all do it, and I do this, and I do that, and I run around and I do this, and I go crazy, and I do this, because that's the way it sort of evolved itself. But that doesn't mean it can't be split up and be done differently.
Right.
You just have to say, this is the plan, this is what we're doing, this is who in charge of this.
And then you put the procedures or your expectations as far as, you know, what, how you would like this to roll out, and then see how it goes. And then if you have to change it, you change it. I mean, you know.
Sherry, how many people, I'm thinking there's quite a few people in the morning that are between the office and that area when kids come in and are greeted. I mean, I would be one of them because I don't think I'd be back there where I normally am in the morning. Instead of having all of us inside, one of us could be outside to greet the kids coming off the buses and just checking, hey, were there any problems? And then we could get that information and then relay that to whoever it has to go to as far as behavior. And we could do the same thing at the end of the day. I mean, that might help. People are used to having morning and afternoon duties. It's just a different, instead of standing there, it's standing there.
It's a different duty.
And to centralize what you just talked about, Tracy, I mean, as you're talking, I'm kind of picking up pieces and just doing a couple of runs through the mind here. There could be an opportunity here, Sherry, for people to be trained in dealing with just bus situations. In other words, you could even maintain your rotation and have those people be part of whatever it is that you set up, okay, as long as everybody is being centralized as far as what's going to be the protocol, you know, as far as if we get referrals. You know, like if you got Tracy up here for 3 days or the week, or even if they do it on a weekly basis, each person that comes in, they're going to know those expectations as far as, you know, trying to help, you know, trying to help to manage some of the behaviors or some of the complaints or the concerns from the driver. And then that can either be rerouted to your behavioralist or to you, I mean, if necessary. I don't know. I don't know what that animal is going to look like just yet.
My fear is the first year that we were opened, we had someone run the transportation, and it was a nightmare. This person had no idea, and we lost a lot of students over this because kids were lost. It's a really large responsibility for the person. And my only concern is if, like, I mean, I'm willing to pick up something. I don't know this area, so I don't know where the streets are. I don't know the locations. You know, to fill out the forms for the teachers, yes, has something to do. But my concern is we have students that go maybe Tuesday and Thursday, they go to dad's house, and that's bus two. But Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's bus one because they're going to mom. It is very, very confusing. Yeah. And I mean, we've been here in the beginning of school from maybe 6 o'clock at night, and still trying to figure out where these kids are. So,
but only that bus phone has to stay on till about 4:30, 5 o'clock, and that person has to be available because there's buses that come back because nobody was at the stop to get that 5-year-old.
True.
So the bus brings the child back here 4:30 at night. So if I have a staff here at 7:30, who's going to stay till 4:30? Then I'll be reorganizing someone's hours so that they come in late and stay late.
Do you think it's doable to make, I know we talked a little bit about the part-time position, if you split it between a certain amount of hours in the morning and a certain amount of hours in the afternoon,
I don't have money for
kind
part-time.
Of like Boys and Girls Club.
We don't have any money.
Is there any, there's no other, I mean, I know you've got, there's no way it can be written into any of the grants or?
Is it possible to have flex time positions where you have someone coming in early and staying maybe till 12 or 1 or whatever their full day is, and have someone, and I'm not necessarily saying you, but But someone like Mary Ann, have her not come in until 11 and stay until 4 or 5 or whatever it is, so that someone has to be here. You know, someone that has work to do that could be done in addition to answering the phone. I mean, is there somebody else here? Are you the only person other than
Shalane and I? We're here till 4. We have to be here till 4.
We're here till 4. You know, but the other issue is in the morning, it gets hectic.
Oh, I know it does.
It's mm-hmm. And especially when something's going on. I mean, you need two people, one there, one to answer the phone, one to get the person to let them in. It's crazy. And I'm not saying every day is that way, but...
okay, if you take Shalane... And you say, okay, you're going to answer the phone. You're going to sit here. You're going to answer the phone. If there's any question, and you're going to write it down on the form, and you're going to get that to the right person. But you're sitting here answering the phone until 8 o'clock or 8:30 or whenever school started. Then that's the phone piece. If you get a couple of other teachers and you say, your duty's outside every morning. Now, you normally stay here to what? When do teachers, can teachers go home?
3:30.
You tell those teachers they can go home at 3 o'clock, but they have to be here a half an hour early.
They can't leave at 3 because they have to get their classes out.
What time do the classes leave?
They start dismissal 3:10.
Okay, then what time?
They normally leave at 3:30.
They leave at 3:30.
Yeah, they need that time to answer.
Yeah, they would need that. They don't have to stay longer than 3:30.
Because they're here at 7:30, so that's their...
Nine and a half hours.
And you know the other
7 hours and
the other
20 minutes. Is it 7 hours?
Concern.
We debated to death, but it's something that obviously you're going to have to do some thinking around planning and coordinating, so you can describe the type of person and what you need. But what you're saying is potential nightmare. That losing, and you need someone that knows streets. You add a whole nother variable. That knows the neighborhood and things like that. So this is a little bigger than us just assigning someone answering phones and stuff like that.
We're
not equipped to even delve into a conversation about it, but you are, she are, the both of you that have done, you can describe it and define how it needs work, and then bring it back to us and let us figure out how to
even though you didn't do it,
we can get some compensation or how the person or what type of person we get and how we have to move it around. We just don't have enough information at this point to even get our arms around a board member. Because I'm not here.
About 20 a week.
Let's see if the bus garage.
Our bus drivers, they don't get money, you know, and they capital gets the better of the drivers. And that was the other thing this year. We had buses that weren't even coming till 3:45 because the bus driver had to drive for capital first. There was two buses, bus 3 and bus 4, that would get here late. And I have to send messages out to the parents saying, sorry for the inconvenience, this bus hasn't left yet. Bus 3 is delayed because you have, and the bus driver or the bus company would contact Ms. Stewart that day and say, oh, bus 3 driver is going to be half hour late. Mm-hmm. It's like just on a whim.
A whole lot to this job.
Oh, yeah.
It has to be described. That's why I said it needs to be described. And then the exceptions.
Yeah, but I mean, this, you know, these two women are sitting here. She's up to her eyeballs in grants. She's trying to hire people. They don't have to sit around and brainstorm and figure out how to do this. I mean, that's why she's asking help from us.
But we don't know. I'm saying she has to write down what we don't know. I mean,
I know enough from what you just said to realize kind of what's involved here.
I mean, it's a huge responsibility because you're talking 250 students to make sure they're getting home to their parents. And... like I said, we take calls. I'll take a call and they'll say, well, you know, I need my child to get on bus 2 today.
Why can't we use part of the transportation money to fund this position?
The leftover transportation money.
Well, that's already built into the budget I just did.
You've used it,
I used it because you got to cut. But right now I don't know what else is going to happen. Mm-hmm. I think you got to describe maybe what you need and what it would cost. You know, maybe is there a college student that could come in at the end of the day that we pay him an hourly rate?
We need him in the morning too.
Really conscientious, you know, like, you know,
almost like work study.
Yeah.
Let me ask a dumb question here. Did Mrs. Stewart leave on good terms? That she
has to be broken down some way, and I think. In my opinion, Shalane is the one who should take all the messages. Now, this other thing about dealing with all the changes and the behavior and so forth, we may have to...
That could be the behavior intervention.
Shake that tree a little more.
And maybe someone here in the morning, in the afternoon, maybe a college student who's conscientious to take on those responsibilities, to stay late here, if you got someone good. Because if someone's in college, you know, there should be some good kids out there.
But they're not going to do it for free.
No, but I'm saying we have to pay them a little bit, you know, because... And like I said, I'm not saying we don't have money. I just don't, I can't hire two extra teachers and keep spending.
So you could pay them like a substitute.
No, it's not a whole full day. It's not a full day.
I'm saying.
I guess my question is, how much time do we need in a day other than collecting all the information that comes in and getting it to the right people? How many more hours do we need in a day to take care of this after school stuff? And because the discipline is going to be taken care of by the behavior.
And the phone, actually.
So my question is, if you take care of all the messages and the behavior person takes care of the behavior, how many more hours in a day do you need, and what's the time period?
I'd probably think about 4 hours.
Okay.
Could you do an hourly salary?
So I think you could do an hourly rate without any benefits, and if that's that important, that's a priority. That's a priority. We have to cut something else. Because I heard what Mary Ann said about, you know, if you're in a year, we think we have 250 kids, and because of our transportation, we lose 10 more. There's a big loss. So I'm hearing that too. So I'm saying, how can we break it up? And, you know, we can't fiddle around with this thing because school's going to soon start.
There may be a person who those hours, a little in the morning and a little in the afternoon, would be perfect.
Or would one of the existing young teachers be willing to take on before and after school and make some more money at an hourly rate? I'm driving you crazy.
Is there a teacher here whose actual duties don't start until, say, 8:30 or 9 o'clock, like a PE teacher?
No, because they're in breakfast duty and car rider duty.
Right.
Okay, so they're covering that.
But are they all involved in that?
Mm-hmm. How about the music teacher, the art teacher?
We don't have music, but art is at the back door until 8 o'clock, and then they go to breakfast. So we only have 3 related arts for breakfast.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But there's no teacher at beginning or end of school that has time that they could do that.
Teacher's aide.
We have a para that could do it.
That's good.
So,
don't think in terms of individual people. Think in terms of position.
Do you have paras written in your the big grant, consolidated grant?
Yeah.
Title One.
Could you have one of the paras pick up that duty?
I think you'd have to pay them additional, though, because it's Title One grant money. It's restricted money, so you'd have to do...
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was thinking about having a para just do that and not do the instructional piece. Mm. Can't do that.
No. Mm-hmm. I only have, 4 paras?
They're educational paras, so...
But would Title One cover someone like that?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Can't do that.
I'm just saying.
Like she said, it's very restricted.
What funding was she paid out of before...
State.
Okay. I'm just curious.
But she was paid as out of the teacher salary line, or what?
That was a long discussion. But it was good, though.
Okay, moving on.
Or he might know somebody.
It has to be talked about, right? Yeah. Discussed.
That was good.
It's not an easy problem. I'm willing to put money against it. You can convince me.
Okay, Sherry.
Thank you.
Next.
All right, so I told Ms. Holmes that I would share the PTO update. The only other thing that she had was the parents on the PTO asking about music and foreign language for next year, which I've already told them. I know we had the parent come to the board meeting really interested in having a music program and what they could do to help. But I also know, sitting with Bill today and talking about the budget and possible cuts and everything, that I know that that's not possible, so... But that's the parents asking for it.
Unless we get more kids.
A lot more kids.
You have parents asking for it, and you can do it.
We've talked about a meeting with the owner for back in December. We need to have a meeting with him. I'm not saying right now, but we need to have a meeting and get some money back from him.
Right now.
And that'll free some things up. I'm not saying right now. I think we need to know more where we're at, you know, with more details.
Well, especially given all the things that happened.
Yeah, you know, and all this stuff, you know, we got to be a tough conversation with him, because I know if I owned this building and you said, hey, give me $100,000 or nothing, you know, if he doesn't have anybody in here, he's going to lose a lot of money. And I built the budget based on no increase, and his contract asked for an increase, and we just can't do that. We just can't do it. And we need to have a meeting with him and lay it on the line. And I'd rather do it a little bit later when we know more details about things.
Yeah, more stable with our numbers. And
you know, for those of you who don't know, a couple years ago, he did step up to the plate and we got $90,000 back. So I'm holding that out as a possibility because I know if I owned a place and he's getting 500 and...
That's unconscionable.
$542,000 and say, give me 80 and you'll get 400 something versus nothing. I think we have to be really tough with it.
That's just because you understand numbers.
No, it's just common sense. Yeah, I don't understand numbers to that because when you have a building like this, when's he going to get a tenant in here? And is he going to spend a lot of more money on it? Yeah, you know,
he ain't going
to
get a tenant.
You know, we have to hold his feet to the fire. Mm-hmm. And there seems to be we talk about it, but nothing ever happens. And I'm sorry, I'm just.
Mm-hmm. Okay, next, Sherry.
I'm done.
You're done? Okay, are there any other announcements?
Any mother announcements?
The only thing that I was asked about was the washer and dryer for Mr. Davis. The washer that he got through Marianne has not been functioning correctly. Last I knew, it was stuck with stuff in it.
Is this the one Noelle bought for the school?
No, I donated it.
Oh, okay.
She donated it. So he asked about that. He didn't ask anything in particular, but there's a lot of washing and drying that.
Can it be repaired?
I asked him that too. Last I knew, he couldn't even get it open. I think he finally did get it open because I was like, "Oh man," because it was wet. It had stuff in it when it stopped working.
Mildew.
So I was like, "You need to get that open somehow." Because I was wondering if it could be repaired as well. I said if it's more repaired, I don't know if you can get an estimate.
It sounds like it's just a regular washer stuck in it.
It's just a front loader.
Till you get a repair, it probably costs more than.
And it might cost more than it's worth. I suggested that maybe he even look around at like the scratch and dents and
go to Habitat.
Bring a price.
$400 or $500. That's
where did it move?
Right, the Habitat
on 13 in front of Rodney.
The only thing is if he found some and then came to the board with the prices. By the time you wait for it to be approved,
I think you can buy a washer for $400 or $500.
Yeah,
easy.
And he would really like to have both the washer and dryer.
Well, if we got a washer, that's a start. Right. And to see what's happening. I'd say $400 or $500 isn't going to kill us.
Mm-hmm. Go to the rebuild store, the Habitat for Humanity store.
Yeah. And you want to look for a heavy duty one.
Yeah.
Right. Especially when you think he's.
What does he wash? What types of things?
A lot of it is rags and things like that. The thing is what he probably doesn't think about is they have, like we have dogs and. Ours get a lot of abuse from all the hair and stuff, and all the stuff he's cleaning up, I'm sure there's a lot of loose duster. Threads and all the duster things and all that it probably wears it out. Yeah.
I think he needs it. $500 or $600.
We just get the best price we can get.
Yeah. But I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm just saying.
But if you can tell us what to do on budget,
no, but I think
that's not.
If that causes this, that's. No, that's not it. That's just my opinion.
Is that all you had?
That was it.
Okay, are there any other points of discussion?
Maybe if things go well, maybe we get a dryer later.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Yes,
so moved.
Without a washer.
Talk to Leah and Mrs. Robinson. Adjourn.
The dryer if you want the washer.
Yeah. When's the next meeting?
Next meeting is the 4th. I don't have a calendar.
July 25th.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
And, Sherry, are you going to let the CBOC know about a 5:30 meeting that day since we didn't have a meeting today?
Okay. I want to reiterate, what a good job you all are doing and how hard you're working. I'm so sorry we can't do more for you. And